Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reformed Judaism, Shabbat, January 25, 2014, 24 Shvat, 5774, Mishpatim, Exodus 21:1 through 24:18, Haftarah, Jeremiah 34:8 through 22, and 33:25 through 26, Devar Torah, Halacha, and Agadah, the interplay between law and narrative to determine God's will for us, by Rabbi Peter S. Noble. In Parashat Yitro, we are overwhelmed by the power of the encounter of God and the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. The people respond to God's presence, saying, Na'aseh v'nishma, all that the Eternal has spoken, we will do. The thunder, lightning, smoke, and horn blasts that accompany the giving of Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, are the most perceptible aspects of that moment. It is likely that few people who were there remembered anything but the smoking mountain and the divine presence. This week's parasha, Mishpatim, meaning rules, translates the experience into concrete legislation. In the Torah, a Modern Commentary, Rabbi W. Gunther Plaut divides this portion into three parts: laws on worship, serfdom, and injuries, laws on property and moral behavior, and cultic ordinances and affirmation of the covenant. This law, halacha, is embedded in the story, Agadah, that the Israelites experienced. As the modern Jewish literary figure Chaim Nachman Bialik wrote in his famous essay Halacha and Agadah, halacha is the crystallization of the ultimate and inevitable quintessence of Agadah. Agadah is the content of halacha. Robert Cover, the 20th century Yale Law School professor, furthered this idea in his groundbreaking essay Nomos and Narrative, where he wrote, "No set of legal institutions or prescriptions exists apart from the narratives that locate it and give it meaning." Jewish law and legal institutions are embedded in the stories of the Exodus from Egypt and the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. The Exodus establishes an ethical method for evaluating particular legislation, and the Sinai experience roots this method in divine intention. In other words, God intends the law to create a just society, with special emphasis on treatment of the weak and disenfranchised, categorized by concern for the widow and orphan, Exodus 22:21, and stranger, Exodus 22:20, which is followed by a reminder of our having been strangers in Egypt. It is important to recognize that the meaning of the narrative changes over time to suit current circumstances. For example, the existence of slavery is taken for granted in our Torah portion, which may seem strange to the modern reader, especially at this point in the narrative, as the Israelites have just been liberated from Egyptian bondage. However, careful examination of the passages suggests that while it is impossible at this stage to eliminate slavery, the goal is to make it more humane. See, for example, Exodus 21:20 and 26-27. The narrative, therefore, provides an ethical critique of the institution, which it cannot yet eliminate. In our own day, the ethical critique can be fully applied as to argue that slavery in any form can never be justified or considered humane, and that God's intent is human freedom and liberation. This understanding is, in part, a result of extending the text beyond the Exodus narrative to the creation story, where we learn that every human being is created in the image of God, in Genesis 1:27. In Reform Judaism, the ethical critique of law dominates our interpretation of God's will. This is important because it is a major way in which we have sought to understand halacha, traditional Jewish law. While within Jewish jurisprudence, there are a number of principles that enable halachic authorities to make changes based on altered conditions or new knowledge, the very nature of Jewish law, as interpreted by traditional legal experts or response committees, tends to be conservative. Even within Reform Judaism, the CCAR Responsa Committee has sometimes been more conservative than the Reform Rabbinate as a whole. The Responsa Committee performs a very important function of attempting to apply Jewish law to the questions which are asked in a way that is both faithful to the halachic method and also to the Jewish narrative as understood by contemporary Reform Judaism. We can use the narrative, which gives meaning, to simply dismiss what we do not like by using its principles in a casual manner, or we can use the narrative to influence a careful decision-making process. I highly value interpretations with which I do not agree that are rendered by the CCAR Responsa Committee or published by the Friedhof Institute for Progressive Halakha because they are carefully reasoned. They provide material to be assessed, and if I disagree, I must find a reasoned response based on a reading of sources. One ongoing conversation in the interpretation of Jewish law revolves on the use of narratives, especially Talmudic narratives, to determine the outcome of controversial matters. For example, I have used the story of the martyrdom of Rabbi Hanina ben Teradion to argue for assisted suicide as a valid Jewish option in the case of terminal illness with intractable and unremitting pain. The story tells how the rabbi's executioner changed the position of the punishing flame and removed the wet wool that had been placed on the rabbi's heart to prolong his agony, so the rabbi would have a quicker, less painful death. See Babylonian Talmud Avodah Zarah 18a. My position on this has been very controversial, especially because I use Agadic text to justify it. The interplay between Halakha and Agadah, between narrative and nomos, law, serves as a powerful way to think about the values by which we live our lives. Rabbi Peter S. Noble serves as interim rabbi at Temple Judea in Coral Gables, Florida. He is Rabbi Emeritus at Beth Emet, the Free Synagogue in Evanston, Illinois, and past president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis.